Hopefully
the stream is live. This is the stream.
Now we're actually streaming to something. Before if anyone logged on to StreamYard, because that's where everyone goes for their live content, is to StreamYard. No one watches YouTube anymore. It's all StreamYard.com.
Oh, the kids and their newfangled stuff.
Okay. I still want to see it. I still actually want to see us here on the YouTube. Hi, everyone. Sorry if you're actually listening to us live. I just don't believe that we're actually live. And we should be. There we go. Okay. It's for real. All right. Welcome, Wheel of Time Knots. We are your true source, the Purest Light, your companion cast, the warders, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent, i.e. We Mix It and Sounds Awesome, respectively. I will be your pod mistress.
And I will be your... Dang it, I had one, and I'm just... You know what? I'm not going to lie, family. I've started a little early tonight on the mead, if you will. So what I was going to say is I will be your... I've got nothing to die right now. I had one, didn't write it down. The ADHD, or as I like to call it, the utta-hutta, prevented me from doing so. So let's just start there. We're going to talk about, is it Beyond the Stone, correct?
The Shadow Rising, Chapter 23, Beyond the Stone. Beyond the Stone.
Because I listened to half the stone and went, we talked about this last week.
Oh, did you? Oh, man.
Well, it's not, and like, I'm not that big. Like, okay, first of all, I was saying, like, I do have a bit of a tick. It's a snort. It's a sniff. It's a, I got to drink my soda when Desmond's talking. So I'm trying really hard to curb it. I'm sure it's probably annoying. That being said, I've read and listened to these books so many times. I sort of be like, wait, what part were we talking about? So I had to like go back and be like, okay, yeah, no, we've talked about that last week. So I listened to that chapter again, got some great nuance. And then now we're beyond the stone, sir.
I listened to this chapter last week when I went on my road trip. I listened to a couple chapters and then I listened to this again yesterday and was like, I have no idea. So I listened to it today and I got most of it, but thankfully, let me just send a shout out to the fandom, the Wheel of Time.
The fandom helps community. And the Wikipedia, whatever.
If it was not for your cliff notes, it's so weird that I think part of the thing that gets me lost too, is that since we've just been spoiler free on this, like you and Jeremy haven't been trying, like it's just too hard to keep me in the dark and have an interesting conversation. So this is one of those chapters where I'm like, I kind of knew this, but it's still weird hearing it finally when you're supposed to.
It's hard because I know you well enough to where like, if I want to keep you interested, I kind of have to spoil some stuff. And
yeah,
I'm a little bit that same way, especially if something that's like someone who knows me as well as you's like, look, if you could just pay attention to the crux of the story, I know you'll love it. The rest of the extraneous shit is a fucking lot. I get it.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things. It's kind of like, look, just check let me hit the cliff notes so I can keep you interested. And that way you can at least kind of know the story I love. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was like, cause yeah, this is it's one of those weird chapters. Cause, and I feel like we've said this a lot, like we're in this weird phase of book three where like still nothing really book four still, which makes sense because it was going to be a trilogy. And then he's like, well, let's start stretching this out. And this is when he's like, okay, right. Kids, I got a 10 book deal.
Here's the stuff, all the shit I wanted to leave out.
Comfortable
that I'm gonna write this book with all the shit I was afraid to.
So this is a chapter where in the, like, if you were telling the larger, if you were gonna give the, not even the elevator pitch, if you were gonna give the 2-hour synopsis of these books, you'd skip this chapter.
Elevator pitch, I like that.
Yeah. Justin, you do not want to be trapped in an elevator with Justin because he will put his finger on the door closed button and keep going.
I'll just the emergency stop and be like, you're gonna listen now.
No, you gotta
you listen in your office. You chose not to. Now we're stuck in the elevator, bitch. Let's go.
And And I'm not even going to lie.
I'm a psychopath? Hey, that's debatable.
Well, I would never lie about you being a psychopath. Usually I have the Wheel of Time playing in the background just to keep me focused and like all that stuff. I don't watch it. I'm not even going to lie. Right now in the background, I have the Blu-ray extended version of Mallrats playing, and I'm not even sorry.
Fuck yeah, you shouldn't be sorry. Why would you ever be sorry for that? The customer is always an asshole, first of all. They call me Fatty the Boom Baddie. Nobody calls me
Nobody calls him that.
Nobody calls me that. They call me Pop Pop.
She means sex. I know what she meant.
I know what she meant. Hartford, the whale. I just love this. I know, like, I'm like, if you want to quit doing this and just start doing MRU, like, I'm cool with that. I just want to hang out with you once a week and make jokes because I don't give a fuck if anybody listens. I have a great time.
I just want a little part. We can have one listener. I just want them to write in and say, hey, this is what I was thinking. So anyone out there, tell us.
Jeremy, can you please catfish us? For fuck's sake, dude. God, sorry. I've been trying to get some of my workmates and been trying to tell some of the older ladies that hit on me, hey, listen to the show. It's great.
It's funny watching this, like, you know, we've seen this movie so many times, like, because sometimes it's not even a new scene. It's just an alternate take. And I'm just like, that's not the right cadence for that line.
Oh, Ben Affleck fucked that up.
Like, oh, no, he's supposed to say that louder or faster or slower. It reminds me of I've seen Friends so fucking much. When I watch it in syndication, I know what jokes they cut out to make time.
That's funny.
I'm like, nope, yeah. There's supposed to be another tag. There's supposed to be another. And it sucks that that's the version on HBO now. Like, that's the HD version was cut for new time. And it's like, no.
No, you're cutting out. Dude, I'm glad that I've never watched, like, any show that I've really loved like that. Like, I'm trying to think of something that I love. Like, I love Scrubs. Like, I love Scrubs.
Yeah.
I love Parks and Rec. Like, some people love Friends. Like, I can watch most of those episodes and definitely certain episodes, like, over and over and over and over again. Scrubs is not holding up in the parlance of our times as much.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of, like, you know, just Dr. Cox, you know, making fun of JD for being feminine and gay jokes and stuff. And they're not, like, they're not bad. And they even, like, kind of, like, work their way around them by saying, like, I don't care. I'm just doing it because I know it bothers you.
I'm just saying, you're feminine.
Yeah. It's like... something like he's, like, winking at Dr. Kelso when he's, like, save it for the bathhouse of sport.
Like, 30 Rock, I don't know how much more shelf life 30 Rock has.
Dude, 30 Rock is one of those ones that are like, most of the time, like, you know, like 70% of that show, you're like, great. And then Donaghy says something or Kenneth and you're like, or like the one Ryder cat, the bald guy, I can't remember his name. Pete, is that his name?
Yeah.
He'll break out some shit and you're like, I don't think you can say that anymore. I think you guys got sued for that. Exactly.
I mean, Tina Fey got two episodes taken down for good. She got the two blackface. I mean, I think other people would have taken it down either.
That's right. Jenna was in blackface. There's two. God.
And John Hamm was in blackface.
No.
Yeah. And they're not.
Oh, my God.
And it's, you know, it's one of those
fucking priceless. But I
the one with Jenna too. The whole point of that was making fun of blackface. So I'm kind of surprised that one didn't stay on, just because it's like they knew what they were doing.
It was like a big deal because she had done one like way back in the day in like Canada or something, right? Like,
well, and like I think Tracy does whiteface in that episode too. So I think like everyone got their licks in, but they were still just like nah.
Oh, racism is hilarious. One of the most racist stuff that's ever been done on like film or digitally recorded is Dave Chappelle. And some of that shit will never like be there. You will never find funnier shit than that. I still quote it like all the time to this day. And some of it's just so fucking funny. Like when they're in the house and Tyrese is talking to the white guy, is every like nerdy white dude's biggest fear of black men. Like obviously, you or I, we've like been around every single race and every credence. We don't give a shit. Like, I know that about you. You know that about me. But for those, and you know who we're talking about, they're just like, the butthole couldn't be tighter for those kind of things. And it makes me laugh so hard.
Well, like you've heard Chappelle tell his story about it before he disappeared for 10 years. Like he was doing a skit and a white guy was laughing way too hard for the wrong reasons. He's like,
yeah, he's like,
okay. Like, you know, maybe this isn't the commentary I thought it was.
No, it is. It's just, you know, some people are fucking idiots. So
speaking of racist, what about these Aiel taking over? You know what I'm saying?
They're a bunch of ginger light-eyed fucks.
You're in a clan? I get it. No, I get it.
Oh, you guys have blue eyes and blonde hair and like red hair? Oh, we get it.
Yeah.
Cool. Aiel, Aryan, just saying. Furman, German, just saying. There's a show line right there.
So we pick up
Furman,
right...
German. Sounds racist. Aiel sounds racist.
It sounds, when you say it, it sounds racist. When I say it, it's fine. But when you say it, when you tell me to pull up my veil, it's coming off.
I have dark hair and darker eyes, everyone, just for the record.
I'm a gray-haired white man, so I have no reason to talk about this at all.
My favorite thing is to try to like just bring up with my family, like, so we're native, yeah? That's cool. I got the DNA thing. It says we're Portuguese, Italian, and like Spanish. And it says we're, you know that, you remember in school when you had that like less than or greater than little alligator thing? Yeah. Ours says less than 1%. So give back your fucking tribal card, Dad. Oh, sorry, that's enough. All right, that's enough. Enough.
Whoa, happy Thanksgiving. Oh, Justin's laptop just shorted out because he snorted. Bushmills.
You know what's
all
fun? Snort. You know what's fun to snort? Not cocaine. Buffalo Trace. Oh. It will pull your sinuses right out. Ah, delicious. You know what? I'm not gonna lie. In the last couple of days, I have caught myself saying a nice holiday to at least 4 Native people. Great.
Yep.
How about let's not do that, white guy.
Let's. Hey.
So I have no problem with that. Like I, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like, I don't care. Like I will say sorry immediately. I will eat the biggest pile of shit. I fucked up, this nice young lady's pronouns the other day. And I was like, did I mess up your pronouns? And they were like, kind of. And I was like, I'm very sorry. I will try not to do that again. Boom. There's a lesson, people. That's all you got to do is just give a shit a little bit.
You know what tastes worse than eating shit? Eating shit that festers for a month. Fresh shit.
When you're an asshole, I feel like you eat your own asshole, and your own asshole tastes worse than eating someone else's shit.
That's
for the right reasons. Let's just say that. Let's get into this.
I love the smell of my own farts, but I hate eating my ass. Is that weird? Is that ironic?
I mean, there's not enough showers to get the taste out of. You've seen bad words, right? Get back there. That's right. Don't look at me. Like, you've seen bad words, right?
Oh, bad words. Yes. Absolutely.
For someone who is absolutely a slut for Jason Bateman, I was like, you better have watched that one.
So
I can see why people get a little upset about it. You know, some of the shit he says to that, like, 8-year-old Indian kid's pretty rough.
Dude, he's fucking terrible.
What's going on, Slummy? You look like you got in the wrong guy's asshole. And he's like, whatever. You're like, you have no idea what he's actually saying.
No idea.
It hurts my heart.
We pick up right where we left off last week. They blinked out of existence. They blinked back into existence in where, Justin? Where do they blink to?
So they are, I guess, this kind of like sort of mountain that is above the Aiel, the only Aiel city of Riudan that really, Roydian, Riudan, however you want to pronounce it. I've heard it pronounced several ways. It is a city, it's almost like a dead city because people don't live there. It's in this kind of giant bowl of a valley and it is covered in fog, 365, 24/7. It never goes away. I think it has something to do with the power. The fact that the fog is there, I think it has something to do with the Aes Sedai kind of put a Pata type hex on it to kind of hide it, and keep it. Because there are still, at one point you find out kind of like I don't know if it was a stronghold of the Aes Sedai or if it was just a major city. I think it was a place where kind of like, I think they had more than one kind of, and I could be totally wrong about this. I wish Jeremy was here because he'd be like, you're stupid, fatty. You're so dumb. I feel like, you know, they definitely had kind of like the main White Tower type place, which was, I'm drawing a blank on the name right now, but you'll learn it later, so it's fine. But I think this place was either a place of study or another place that they were maybe kind of trying to make a sort of stronghold for people who could channel. And there was a lot of Turangriel, Saangriel, and Angriel there, and a pretty large concentration of Aes Sedai. And once we start in the next, I don't know, couple of chapters, we start getting into Rand's memories. Those are going to be some serious breakdowns, because you're seeing that Rand's memories.
They're not Rand's memories.
But they are his ancestors. They are his ancestors' memories. Right. So, yeah. But it goes all the way back to the breaking, more or less. And then, you know, within like 30 years after the breaking. And you get to see what Rand's family did and his relationship to the Aes Sedai and stuff. And that's really important. So upon leaving, I don't know if it's ever explained. I'll have to like look that up. Why Riudan is shrouded in fog all the time. And it's a source of kind of like mystique. You know, go to the scary haunted house and now you're a man, you know, if you're breaking it down to the most simple thing, right? Clan chiefs have to go in once and they're marked with a dragon on the forearm. Only Rand, who he will be marked with dragons on both forearms, supposedly because he's the Kara Karn, or who he comes with the Dawn. Women who go there, they have to go there once. Sort of, it's very similar to like an accepted test. Yeah. You go in once and that's your first test. And then you start, then if you come back from that, then you start your apprenticeship with the wise ones. And then if you come back alive, and that's the thing. Same thing with clan chiefs. They, you know, it's not uncommon for them to just die or, you know, kill themselves or never come back because they can't handle the true history of the Aiel. But then once you, if you do come back, then you study with the wise ones. And when they decide, you know, you're ready to become an Aes Sedai / wise one, then you have to go back.
Okay.
And I believe that Avienda, I think she goes for a third time. And that's when she starts to see the future of her people. Maybe it's the second time. It's been a while since I read that book. But I think it's the third time. And Rand only goes once. But he learns the past of the Aiel too. And all those things are crazy important. And in the next couple of chapters, we're going to be really getting into that shit.
So this whole thing takes a while.
Oh, it's called Chandar. That whole answer was they arrived at a place called Chandar, which is above the valley where Riudan lies. So
just in case, do you have a clip you were going to play today?
I have two short ones. I have two short ones.
Do you want to do it sooner? I don't, but I just wondering if you want to do it sooner or later.
Let's see. Let me look at my notes real quick. Holy City in the Waste. You know, you see how much this drained Rand. He's on his knees. You know, Moraine kind of gives him a fatigue cleansing, and
which she gets mad about.
Yeah, she says that she can't cleanse him of his fatigue wholly because of some of it comes from him channeling like overexerting himself with the power. Basically.
Right.
But then she says, well, I'm going to leave, you know, it serves you right. I'm going to leave that. So we don't know if she's telling the truth or not. And he gets, like you said, he gets very butthurt about her, like touching him without permission. He's like, hey, ask before you use the power on me. And you're starting to see his, I don't want to say paranoia, but he's definitely wary of women you could channel because you get around too many of them and they can cut you off forever as far as he knows.
And through this whole thing, of course, everyone's in the back bitching about men and women. Boys.
There's definitely a lot of, you know, the, you know, women are from Mars, men are from Venus, men are, thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I think I got it backwards, but
yeah, we don't know where men are from in Wheel of Time.
Yeah. They're from Shadar Logoth probably. Evil. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, So it, you know, Jessa was talking about, you know, a bunch of people are going to go to the rings or whatever they want to call it, but it takes a while. It all happens in phases because it starts with, you know, they just poof are in existence and a couple of different Aiel clans start to close in on them to attack the strangers, but they're traveling with other Aiel. So they're able to at least calm down an immediate war. And then it's pretty quickly decided that Rand has to go. And then Matt tags along through much chagrining.
Right. And that's where my clip kind of goes. And I'm just going to cover a few things before then. Okay. So first of all, you see Rand, first of all, he kind of fulfills a prophecy.
Prophecy.
He is branded kind of by the Fat Man Angriel that he has in his hand, sort of like the Herons. So that's another kind of like prophecy that he like fulfills kind of like accidentally. Like you said, he shows up. Yeah, you'll have their buttholes puckered. There's obvious tension. What is it? Bale or Ruark? One of them talks to somebody and you can tell there's tension, but they're professional about it, if you will. And then, you know, you have Culloden, who's waiting for his brother to return from Riudan, who never comes back, basically, because of the exact reason they were talking about. He could not handle, you know, and Culloden is obviously you're getting a vibe from the Shido that they're the hyperactive ADHD drunken cousin of the family. They're like, they always say the wrong thing. They act up when they shouldn't. They stretch the limits of their, you know, Jito to the max. And, you know, he obviously gets kind of like chastised and shut down a little bit, and he's not super happy about it.
Did we ever get clarity in the show about the note Lan finds in Moraine's belongings?
About Lanfear?
Oh, was that about Lan? That wasn't this, because I was going to ask you about the note.
It was a prophecy about Lanfear, and it goes back to the blood calls blood prophecy in book two, where they were like, write it, painted Fane, like wrote it on the wall. And like,
oh, right.
That's so, kind of like the show's version of that, if you will.
But is that what this note is? Because I was just looking at the cliff notes and I forgot about this. Tells Egwene that the letter Moraine received from the wise one specified that she would arrive today.
No. She's just like, you know, Moraine being an Aes Sedai, thinking that she kind of, I obviously know as much as anybody can know about the power, right? Their letters are specific enough to where she's like, I should listen, but they're vague enough to where she's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like you call a psychic line, Miss Cleo, call me now for your free reading. Yeah. You know, they'll be very vague and some of that stuff will hit home with you. And it may not be that's like real clairvoyance. She's kind of like, what is this? What do you mean? I might have came today. And that's actually really important. And we will get to that a little bit later. Okay. Like I said, you see the tensions, Culloden, and that guy's going to be a fucking problem, obviously. But the Aiel, like part of that note was the Aiel were waiting there for Rand. They don't just hang out above Riudan all the time. One clan will go if they have to choose a new chief or a new wise one. You know, that's when people are there. They won't have like several clans there at once. Like that's a recipe for disaster, right?
It's like, okay. So they weren't responding to them coming out of the stone. They were waiting.
No, they were kind of like, they had been told to be there and they were still kind of like not knowing why. And then when a bunch of people showed up, that's just kind of what Aiel do is like.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Like I said, nobody, Rand starts to ask, like you said, you know, he does this thing where he asks to go to Riudan and he states that his mom was Aiel and they correct him and let him know that his mother was not actually Aiel. And I forget that they don't really cover this in the show yet. So this is probably new for you. What did you think of that?
Can they cover? Are you sure they didn't flip it in the show? Because we've already seen his Aiel mom.
No, his mom becomes Aiel, basically. Like I said, finish what you're saying, and I'll extrapolate.
That was pretty much it. I was going to ask if we're being misled, you know.
Yes and no, right? They're okay. Like, oh, his mom's Aiel. Technically, she's Aiel. She's not. He's like, you know how?
If your dad's Aiel, you're Aiel.
So here's the thing. So Judaism is a race,
and
a religion, or Hebrew. I'm not. Please don't don't kill me. That's a terrible. I'm so sorry for what I just said. Jesus. Oh, my God. Just stop talking. Oh, my God. Stop talking. Blah, blah, blah. Relax. What I'm saying is that I know I could be getting it wrong of Judaism or Hebrew. It's like it is a race and a religion of people. Right. So Aiel can kind of be both. Generally, you're born into it. But if they accept you, and it's very, very rare, you can become Aiel. They found Rand's mom, who had left the known world, Camelin, Camelin or Karan, she's part of the Camelin's Andor's like royal line. But she is attached to the Carheen royal line because of who she married.
So
she doesn't like her husband and go, the Aiel find her almost dead in the waist, bring her back to health. She ends up becoming a maiden, but she's not Aiel by birth.
So, all right. I was going to, this is all going to kind of tie together. It's so, I still can't believe that the breaking happened, what, 1,000 years ago? Let's just call it 1,000 years ago. Is that fair? Do we know?
Like 3,000, I think.
So the breaking happened 3,000 years ago, and no one knows shit about shit until now that Rand is finally taking it upon himself to travel to different places and teach people about snow. But I was going to say this even before the Rand mom thing came up. The Aiel seem to be traveling a lot, and the Aes Sedai are nosy ass motherfuckers. So it's just getting harder and harder to believe that nobody knows shit about nobody. And if Rand's mom now, because I was thinking, oh, that would make sense before the breaking that Rand's mom became an Aiel, but this was 2,980 years after the breaking. And his mom is wandering around.
20 years ago. 20 years.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm bitching just to bitch because, you know, I'm coming into these books late. I'm not getting swept up in the majesty and leaving my magic at home. I'm here breaking this book down for the first time in real time. And it's just another thing that makes it hard to believe that after 3,000 years, Ogier didn't travel somewhere and then come back and tell someone about it. An Aiel didn't travel somewhere and then come back and tell someone about it. An Aes Sedai didn't travel somewhere. There's fucking pirates traveling the globe and they're not saying anything to anybody about what they saw on the other side. I don't know. There we go. That's my rant.
By the other side, what do you mean?
Just all over. I know this isn't a globe. I know we're technically, I don't think that this planet that we're dealing with, but whatever space they're taking up, people are sailing to every port and seeing different people live different ways and seeing snow and
very
seeing...
small percentage, right?
But 3,000 years, like these stories, I mean, I guess they just become fairy tales.
Okay, think about the amount of like intermingling you have seen between nations, if you will, right? They don't think there's snow. You know what I'm saying? Like those kind of things. People stay within 10 miles of their home their entire life. It's only just gotten now to the fact where people will, you know, gleam and travel. It's like when like the people who are the most crazy and exciting in this world is a gleeman who's like been to Canada. You know,
you live in Texas, and a
gleeman who's been to Canada tells you stories about the polar bears.
But you're like, you know,
he's crazy.
But you know, he's been there and he's seen it. And like you would. Like, but here's the thing that makes me realize that I'm full of shit. We thought sushi was fake until 1980.
We burned anybody... women at the stake because we thought they were witches, Desmond.
Less than 100
because they were
years.
Good at gardening.
Okay, I take it all back. I'm just saying
before the internet, and I'm not saying that the internet like is the greatest thing in the world, but at least you have access to questions, and many of the questions that you will ask about this world and this life can be pretty factually answered
from someone that's there, not just guessed at by your uncle.
Right. I mean, like, well, I think the moon is made of pudding. Okay. Well, we should probably take that as fact. It's like, no, of course not. But like, that's the kind of stuff that I think would probably kind of go on in this world. A lot of people can't read. Like I said, they don't think snow exists. They think Trollocs are just a boogeyman story from, you know, like basically like us having a boogeyman in the closet. It's like this, that's what a lot of people in this world think Trollocs are because it's been so long since they've had to deal with that kind of shit.
In my lifetime, people, the NFL had to have a conversation about whether or not a redhead could lead a team from quarterback. That was something that was actually concerning to some people.
What?
I remember the Raiders,
though, I'm sure.
I just remember the first time there was a star redheaded quarterback. Everyone was like, huh, well, we'll see how this goes. What the fuck are you talking about?
Same thing as the first time there was a star black quarterback and then they won a Super Bowl and everybody lost their mind. It's like, really, dude? Like,
yeah.
All I have to say is that's a very deep sigh.
Jeez. And again, in our lifetime, that's something that, like, if your great grandpa told you, you'd be like, yeah, well, we had to get over some hurdles. You know, it's part of the healing process. In my
if you're like between 10 and 25, go look up a show. It's called All in the Family, and you probably won't get more racist jokes in a 30-minute period, certainly not on a sitcom on nationally televised syndicated television.
But what makes that show great is they were actually putting Black people on it. They were actually putting gay people on it. They were actually putting women of power. They were making jokes about it, but those people at least existed in this world.
Exactly. And that's the irony. It's like, it's ahead of its time, but also, like, you got to look into it to really see how great and terrible it was at the same time. You're pushing boundaries, and I get it, but also, like,
making jokes to keep them down. Yeah. It's like, if we're all in on the joke, it's all good, right? No.
Still
belittling people who matter.
Nope. Absolutely not. Nope. But all right, I guess at this point we should probably get into our clip because it's 45 minutes in. So 18 on Out of the Stone, or Beyond the Stone, excuse me.
Egwene shook her head. This approached madness. Rand opened his mouth, but Amis did not let him speak. Siana, how do you say? Yes, the woman with gray streaked hair said. Melaine, the last of the four, a handsome woman with golden red hair, no more than 10 or 15 years older than Egwene, hesitated. It must be done, she said finally, and unwillingly. I answer yes. You have been answered, Amis told Rand. You may go into Roydian, and she cut off as Matt scrambled up to copy Rand's bow awkwardly. I also ask to enter Roydian, he said shakily. The four wise ones stared at him. Rand's head whipped around in surprise. Egwene thought no one could be more shocked than she was, but Cooladin proved her wrong. Lifting one of his spears with a snarl, he stabbed at Matt's chest. The glow of Sidar surrounded Amis and Melaine, and flows of air lifted the fiery-haired man and flung him back a dozen paces. Egwene stared, wide-eyed. They could channel. At least two of them could. Suddenly, Amis's youthfully smooth features beneath that white hair leaped out at her for what they were. Something very close to Aes Sedai agelessness. Moiraine was absolutely still. Egwene could almost hear her thoughts buzzing, though. This was plainly as much of a surprise to the Aes Sedai as to herself. Cooladin scrambled to his feet in a crouch. You accept this outlander as one of us, he rasped.
Outlander!
He had attempted to use on Matt. If you say it, then so be it. He is still a soft wetlander, and Roydian will kill him. The spear swung to Matt, who was trying to slip a knife back up his sleeve without being noticed. But it is death for him to be here, and sacrilege for him to even ask to enter Roydian. None but those of the blood may enter. None. Go back to your tents, Cooladin, Melaine said coldly. And you, Hyrn. And you as well, Ruark. This is business of wise ones, and none of men, save those who have asked. Go. Ruark and Hyrn nodded and walked away toward the smaller set of tents, talking together. Cooladin glared at Rand and Matt and at the wise ones, before jerking around and stalking off toward the larger camp. The wise ones exchanged glances.
So, like you said, this motherfucker is going to be a problem, right? Cooladin is not happy with how things are going. He literally, so where they're at is like, it's the Peace of Riudan. Like, you don't fight there. Like, it is like, it's like church, man. Like, you don't play. Like, you don't fight here. Like, you take your beef elsewhere. And for him to, even someone who is there as a visitor who may not even be necessarily welcome, like Matt, is not to be attacked. And so they were really not happy with him about that. Even though he was kind of conceding about, he's like, well, okay, fine, Rand is of the blood. And this is right after, like I said, they're explaining to Rand that, yeah, your mother was a maiden, but, you know, she wasn't born in the way, she wasn't born Aiel, you know, she was this person from this land. I don't even think they get into it right here, but you eventually learn who she was and who she is. And his father was an Aiel clan chief. they were never married because she was a maiden and she obviously died. Usually when maidens get pregnant, they either, you know, take that maternity leave or they choose to give up the steer and get married. Either way, they're usually not fighting until they're, you know, like we saw in the show, right? She's obviously like fucking about to pop. She's 9 months pregnant. She's still fighting. But it's also because of what was going on at that time. It was like a major insult to the Aiel, and they all fought. And her husband, who was a clan chief, I don't know if he got killed then. I think he might have gotten killed during the Aiel War. I'll have to look that up. But she's fighting during the Aiel War, and that's when Tam and her come across each other.
Okay.
Like, you know, what we see in the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Wise Ones, even in spite of themselves, they're kind of impressed that Rand kind of goes with the old, you know, he goes with like an old school way of kind of asking them. They're kind of like, well, you know, obviously he cared enough about our history to learn this, even though it's kind of wrong for what we do now, like, respect. Matt's is definitely kind of haphazard and, you know, probably a little more disrespectful, but also, you know, you can see he's desperate. Like, he comes through, you can see how desperate he is. He's like, I have to go or I will die.
Sorry, I just taking some notes here, some questions I want to remember to ask. We're jumping ahead a little bit in this chapter, but who's all going to Riudan? Or no, we're, right now? Are we? Yeah. So there's Rand,
like, and or Matt. In general. So Rand and Matt go, Avi goes, and Moraine goes all at the same time.
Okay, Avi and, but not at the same time. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, it kind of happens in chunks. Like,
I mean, more or less. I mean, it's within. They're staggered, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, I think they catch up to each other. Oh, wait a minute. Rand, Matt, Avienda, Moraine. Isn't there a fifth?
So Rand and Matt go first.
Yeah.
And then Moraine starts, and then Avi goes last. And even I think you'll see coming up in the next, maybe in the next chapter, maybe a couple chapters down the line, Matt's like, I swear I just saw a naked woman. And it's Avi going naked to, I think even.
And like, are they going to different places? Because the women have to go through one set and the men have to go through another set, right?
You know what? I'd have to look that up. I think they're all going to this like kind of like main square. So I think they're all going basically to the same place, more or less.
And we didn't know all of these people wanted to go to Riudan when we got to Stoke. We knew Matt needed to get to Riudan.
We knew Rand
what was going to Riudan. We didn't know Matt was gonna piggyback. We didn't know Moraine.
Well, we kind of knew because when Matt went through the doorway, they're like, well, when Matt goes through the doorway, they're like, you have to go to Riudan, gambler. And we don't know what context that even means, right? Oh, I'm just supposed to show up in the city and I can go get a couple of drinks at a tavern?
I just have to escort Rand, make sure Rand makes it, something like that.
Which more or less that's what he does. And then, you know, Matt's, you know, curiosity killed the cat. His better nature gets the best of him, and that's where he gets into shit. I can't wait for that chapter. That's gonna be
so fun. Moraine doesn't have to strip though, because she's not Aiel, right? Like, she's not gonna be
she just one. Does. She just like, well, I assume I have to go, you know, like Avienda did. I guess Avienda does go first. She strips down and goes first.
Oh, Moraine does strip. Moraine goes,
yeah. She goes, well, I assume I have to go like Avienda did, you know, with nothing, right?
Oh, okay.
So okay. Yeah, so you get a lot of Aiel history in this, and like the rest of this chapter is kind of like, it's Aiel history. It's the introduction to Egwene. You know, we met Amiss a few episodes ago when her and Egwene come across each other in the World of Dreams, and she's like, you need to come to the Waste, you know? And so they're finally meeting in person for the first time. They start talking about how they're going to train her, you know, blah, blah, blah. And like, one of the things that it's really glossed over, actually, is that Egwene is masquerading. I mean, she doesn't say it out loud, and Moraine also doesn't disabuse anybody of the notion, is that they start calling her Aes Sedai, and she's not, obviously.
Oh, right. That's right. She's just like, yep, that's right.
Yeah, and so that becomes a big thing. And then you start getting a little bit into it. Really, this chapter really fucking like shifts gears, because you get Rand's everything, and then everybody takes off to Riudan, and then they start talking about dreaming to Egwene, and Egwene starts, you know, you see how astute Egwene is right away, right? She starts asking questions that like aren't just like, what is this? What do I learn? How does this happen? She starts getting in deeper immediately in some of the stuff that they say. Amiss mentions that Lan may not have come with Moraine.
Oh,
like,
right.
Her
right.
vision, she was like, she lets her know. I think maybe even Moraine brings it up. She's like, well, you said if Lan comes with me, then you succeed. And I'm like, if you didn't come, he would die. Or like, you know, all the possibilities of what they saw. Right.
Yeah.
And so they don't really touch on it too much, but it's like, okay, if Lan doesn't come with Moraine, where would he go?
I like the thing where they start to tell Moraine a bunch of stuff and then they stop telling her because
they cut off me. They're like, stop. Like that's she needs to decide on her own.
Well, no, that's some time travel shit. Like if you go back in time and tell people what they're going to do, they might not do it. So Dr. Strange, you saw 10,368 versions of this. Is this the one we win?
One.
If I tell you, it won't be.
No. Yep. Yep. If you're a time travel nerd, nothing gets you more hard on than that sentence right there.
Boing! What do we need? What do we need? Time travel. When do we need it? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter. So obviously, if Lan didn't go with Moraine, it wouldn't have been because he disagreed with her. It would have been because he decided he loved Nynaeve too much and he would have had to go with her, which also would change everything, right?
Yeah.
And you'll see why coming up over the next book and a half. Let's see. We're getting towards the end here. You do see all of a sudden. Real quick.
I just want to make a comment about Egwene claiming Aes Sedai or not. Saying I said,
if she doesn't claim it or not claim it, they just say it and she doesn't be like, oh no, I'm just an accepted, you know.
I'm just saying, if I can force push, I'm a Jedi and no one's going to tell me different. Egwene can fuck shit up, she's Aes Sedai, I'm all in.
Well, I'm glad you bring up Jedi actually, because that's something I was literally just about to say. You know, Egwene's like, oh god, you know, the wise ones can channel when they stop Kuladin from attacking Matt, right? I kind of skipped over that because I'm fucking stone, a little bit drunk. That's a big thing. Same with the Windfizers. If you remember, like a couple of chapters
ago.
You know, Elaine and Nynaeve separately find out not only can they channel, they're very strong in the power, at least some of them. And not only are they strong in the power, even the ones that aren't as strong, overall in the power, like I can just channel a lot and I'm not super fine tuned with what I can do, but the amount of power I can wield is crazy.
Yeah.
And then there's other people, maybe not sort of strong, but they're like really, I don't know what you would say, really skilled in certain things, right?
Totally.
They realize like, oh God, they can, you know, they're really strong. They can channel, they can do stuff. And then she realized that Avienda's crazy strong in the power, like as strong as Nynaeve or stronger.
Yeah.
And Egwene's very strong herself. And she starts, like, this is where she figures out she can, like, when she feels a kinship with a woman, she knows, oh, that means they can channel or they can learn. And then she can kind of like feel them out and see how strong they are.
Yeah.
So Aes Sedai are Jedi though, because that's why the Sea Folk and the Aiel, anyone who can channel that's not Aes Sedai, get a little freaked out around Aes Sedai because they're like the Jedi. They're like, oh, you can channel? You're going to come to the tower.
We own you now.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to steal your children.
Daddy? Daddy?
You're gonna go with these nice clerics.
Did he kill
that do magic?
Did he just kill all those kids?
Yes.
Real quick before we wrap up, tell me what you know about Guy Shan and Jitty too.
Okay, so think of it as like just taking a captive in battle, but very honorably. Like as an Aiel, if you're taken captive in battle and you are taking Guy Shan, you serve out your year and a day of like service. Think of it as community service. Like you got caught up, you know.
So the Aiel to kill someone is not very honorable. They're like anyone, a child can kill somebody, but to get someone to realize that you could kill them and then take the so this Guy Shan and GE2, that's only between Aiel tribes. Like they wouldn't take a non Aiel wouldn't subject themselves to Guy Shan, right?
Well, that's a really good question because most of the time you would think that most not like that's the thing. Aiel accept Guy Shan. They're like, I've been taking Guy Shan. It's a year. I got to do my shit and I can go back to my life. And they're treated well. You know, it's not like they're mistreated. the Shido, Kuoden's clan, right?
Oh,
they start to bend slash break rules of Jito by taking like what they call wetlanders, which are non-Aiel Gaishan, which in that case, they are mistreated and they're basically, for lack of a better term, is a slave. Gaishan is this is more of a an indentured servitude, but you are treated really respectfully and well.
Did you hear them? Did you hear them? Yeah. And did you hear? I loved how they like basically complained about the new breed of Gen X Gaishan. The ones
that are like, dude, they're extra. They're extra like.
Oh, yes. Let me get your water here. Here, I brought you. Ooh, I even put ice in it because I'm such a good Gaishan.
Would you like a cucumber slice? Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. And it's like it becomes like it's actually, dude, that's, you know what? Good call, because I didn't think of anything like that. And that's a really good, I mean, you know, if you're being a fucking boomerish dick, yeah, but like that's a really good comparison.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's like this new kind of like fangled attitude with the younger warriors that like we're gonna be extra lame. You know,
if you were like, if you were 45 in 1995, this is exactly oh, you're you're gonna get a $5 coffee. Okay.
If you just stop eating avocado toast, you'll be fine. No, that is not breaking or making fucking anyone. Let me just tell you, you know what's a killer? Paying for health insurance, there car insurance, go. Fucking taxes on the things that I already own, the money that I make, all those things are bullshit.
$1 million for a college education.
Good times that won't even get you a job. Good times.
I know.
We I get had to have paid more than a lot of college graduates. Like
we had to have that conversation with our son who's in college right now. It's just like,
but why? I don't know, man.
Like going to college. I mean, going to college is fine. If you get it, if you have a great job that doesn't need a college education, go get it. But don't worry about getting a degree in the exact thing you're going to go on to do. Nobody does what they have a degree for.
1000%. I had a couple other stupid clips, but they're not really that important. It's just kind of what we already talked about. The Aiel kind of like letting slip to Moraine, like, well, you're going to have to go to Riordan or die. And they're like, what? You're ruining it.
And we kind of mentioned this before. We kind of mentioned this before, but just to put a nail in the in that coffin here at the end of this conversation, no one's assured they're coming back from this journey. This is a especially if you're just Matt. Like they're really just like, okay, buddy.
And the fact how Matt is so ridiculously armed, he's just like, oh, I forgot about those ones. My so bad. Great. I had a couple guns in the base of my back. Shit. That's about all I got, dude. I think for this episode, like I said, at the end, you get a lot of exposition about the world of dreams. And, you know, that last like 15, 20 minutes, it tells you a lot about the world of dreams. Kind of it's, you know, an Aes Sedai foretelling, the world of dreams, the worlds that they went in with the portal stones, they're all kind of connected in a fucked up way, but also not in a reliable way. Does that make sense? It's a like the way they're connected is a very unreliable narrator. They never really like clarify, like, how's this connected? How's this connected? Well, they're like reflections of each other. Blah, 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 blah. Some are more accurate than others, and some are like vastly different than what's, you know, real or whatever.
Let me see. You got any good stories?
I do have a quick one. Right. Just a testament to how much I love my wife. And, you know, like my coworkers, I've only been there for a few months, but I work with a gal named Paige and a gal named Tabitha, who's Paige is more my daughter's age and Tabitha's more my age. I obviously talk about, you know, you got to spend 8 hours with people, right? And they know that I love my wife. And this lady, I told you, I talked about her, how she brought in the squirrel. The lady who brought in the squirrel.
Yes, yes.
And was kind of like, I was like, hey, what's your number? You know, like to get the rewards program. She's like, it's about time. I laughed it off, whatever. I haven't waited on her since. And I was kind of like, that's weird. And I know she comes in like all the time. And I'm like, whatever. I don't care. I'm busy all the time. So I'm like, whatever. Maybe I missed her on break. Whatever. I could care less, honestly.
But you get used to seeing the same people. And after a while,
you're right. Like, and then when you see her, like, well, you were kind of hitting on me and now you don't want to talk to me. That's interesting. I found out why. Because my little sister and my big sister at work, who are really good, they're good folks. she came and was like, what's up with the new guy from Seattle, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, he's very married and very happily, and you should just leave the motherfucker alone. And like, she came in one day, and I was like, is that the one lady with the scroll, right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, well, she don't even like come to me anymore. I don't think she likes me. They're like, oh, she likes you. Oh, she likes you. And you need to fucking not ask her about her squirrel anymore, first of all. And I was like, I was just, I thought it was, I love animals, you know, like, I don't know. She and Tabitha's like, oh, she's like, oh, she's into you. She was asking about you. Tabitha's like, she didn't ask about him. She was like, she wants to fuck him. Or like, she said, and it wasn't that graphic, but it was like, I'm trying to see what's up with that dude or something, you know, like that, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and they were both like, you can get the fuck out of here.
Oh my God.
You need to get
God.
Off my big brother and leave him alone. Either she's come in and they're like, you know, Paige is just, she's real cute. She's a little lesbian. She's like, your wife's so pretty. I can't even make eye contact. So I was just like, it's cute that they pick up on how much I love my wife. And they're like, you just don't talk to that lady about her squirrel no more. We told her to leave you the fuck alone.
What? So next week, people, we're going to be talking about, I think, next chapter is probably going to be a thick one too, so even though it's kind of short, we might want to,
I think, the next like three or four we should probably just do one per chapter. I mean, like, if we can cram two together, because like, they sometimes, Robert Jordan will do that like halfway through, he'll be like, oh, and we'll continue what's happening right now in the next chapter, because they'll change point of views or something will change. But I think like these ones are important, man.
Until... Yeah, we'll definitely do 24. We might, Jess and I might decide to add 25 to it. But I think 25 is a little bit longer, and then 26 is very long. So I think just one a week will give us plenty to chew on.
And until he finishes with Rodian and they leave there, it's probably going to be one a week. Because, I mean, he's in Rodian. You know, you get his stuff. You get Matt's stuff. I don't think you get to know what happens with really Moraine or Abby. I can't remember. Like, honestly, these books are running together so much. Breaking them down so much is making them really run together. So I'm kind of almost in it brand new like you. It's like, oh, fuck. Like, shit will happen. I'll be like, oh, fuck. That's right, you know? Like I said, I was on the wrong chapter day for 15 minutes. And I'm like, and I was just like, oh, man. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, this is not supposed to be doing.
So everyone out there, please send your questions and comments and thoughts to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com, or join us here on YouTube, 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, Tuesday. Be here or be not there.
Show up this winter for fireside chats. Bong hits, bourbon, Desmond, Fatty.
We'd love to talk. You can send us emails, but we would love to answer your questions just live and in person right here. We will throw the next chapter in the trash just to discuss what you want to discuss, but you got to show up.
Absolutely. And I know, man, Des, I'll try to like look for some news if there's anything worth like doing an episode on coming up, because I know we're getting closer to release. They said it's going to come earlier. Does that mean it's 2 weeks earlier or like March? If it's March, we should probably start looking into it. But they seem to be pretty cryptic about, like, they're giving us information, but nothing too specific about the next season. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think we'll get, once we get fully out of the Ring of Power on Prime, hopefully they'll be like, okay, let's start talking about our other fantasy property.
I wish they'd promote it a little bit. It'd be nice. So
That would be nice.
I'm going to spoon feed you the rest of this story so that we can talk about it.
Yes. Put your dagger in the horn box.
Oh, may you always find water and shade, nerds, and have a happy holiday, however you celebrate it with your people.
Eat, drive fast and take risks, and leave your laptop open for 15 minutes.
Count on it, brother. Also, you know, fuck Professor Snape. I know that it was all part of the grand plan, but he's an asshole. That's all I'm saying. Asshole. So.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'll see you later, brother.
Love you. Happy holidays.
Yep.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese.
for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.